World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's a morning. It's the Coach and the Mrs. Coach. And I've never done this in all the shows that we've done. How many? What number is this, Spencer? I didn't even send you stuff this morning. What number show is this, Spencer? He's looking real quick. I can look real quick here. Let me do this. Say it again, bud. 2,547. I've never had her on as a guest. And I'm having her on as a guest today because it's my birthday. And she's the greatest present that I ever got. I didn't even know it. I just married her because she was cute and fun to be around. I had no idea what kind of grandma she'd be, what kind of mother she would be, what kind of, wow. Unbelievable. So I really had to twist hard to get her to do this because she didn't like to do it. But I hear from people all the time. This isn't going to be a real edgy show today. Okay. It's my birthday. Cut me some slack here. All right. But a lot of people ask me questions about my wife, or people out there, women probably in particular, wonder what kind of woman would marry that guy. Jeez, he kind of yells at everyone. And as I try to tell you, that's not really me. I don't yell. I yell when I coach, but I don't yell at my wife. So Michelle joined us today. Our anniversary, my birthday is today. I'm 73 today. And our anniversary was 2 days ago, which was
24th Monday.
How many years?
46.
46 years. 46 years. Unbelievable. So I'm just going to start and going to let Michelle say a few things. And then it's going to be kind of, what do you want to know? Well, ask her. She'll tell you. What keeps us together? How have we made it? Hey, friends, this platform that we built, I want you to know it was done with a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. I can promise you that. And the hardest thing about the walk that I've been through, I got a face of flint. You know, it hits me and bounces off. It bothers me, but it hits me and bounces off. Not off this mama's heart, man. Arrows stick in her. And so offenses at me, at the children, whatever, I mean, it's been a battle for her, because she would admit this. She's not tough by nature. She's not. She's a lover by nature. Why can't we all just get along? Rodney King. That's Michelle, right? And here she's married to this guy. He says we ain't getting along. Sorry, we ain't gonna get along. So how's this marriage work? So I'm just gonna shut up for a minute, and then I'm gonna let you guys open up for questions. And Michelle, go, man. Talk a little bit about. Good.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for all your support and love over the years. I'll start crying. I am definitely the emotional side. I watch every single morning in my pajamas and no makeup and all that stuff. But you guys have all become our friends and supporters and prayer warriors. And I just want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. We couldn't do it without all of you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
From Spencer up there to who's ever at the bottom and the little squeeze.
And it ain't been easy.
No. Now, life isn't easy. As we find out, I think you get older and you find out more and more and more things are crazier. And it's just one more reason to dig your heels into Jesus Christ. That's the only way any of us can survive.
So, you know, Michelle and I... Let's, folks, don't take offense at anything we say, okay? Just don't take offense at it. We were married in the cathedral. We were both good little, bad little Catholic kids, right? We knew just enough about religion to be dangerous. And we got married in 1978.
Fine.
79, one of those years. We got married in 1979. We both came into this marriage with religion meant nothing to us. You know, I tried to be moral, and she tried to be moral. And we tried to live your life like that. And most people, you know, when you get married, like we were, you just want to get married so you can have sex all the time, really, right? That's really why you do it. You don't think what you do when the sex wears off. What, I got to live with her? She got to live with me? Are you kidding me? You know what I'm talking about out there, right? And so at some point, the marriage moves beyond the physical relationship into what really requires building a family. And neither one of us are saved. Neither one of us. We're both moral, whatever that means. As my friend would say, we had standards. We didn't have real morals. We had standards. There were certain things I certainly wouldn't do that, but there are certain things, yeah, I'd probably do that. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And then Michelle on one Saturday went to a prayer breakfast at my sister's house, just a prayer gathering. You can tell the story if you want to, Michelle. And something happened to her. Go ahead, tell that story, Shelly. Sweetie.
Well, we went to his sister's house for a breakfast at Buckeye Lake, and some preacher was there leading the Bible study, and they started talking about being born again and salvation, and I had never even heard of that growing up as Catholic. You know, I believed in Jesus and God and Mary. All that stuff, Mary and all the saints, but I never heard what salvation was. And my salvation story is not some fantastic, I got healed and set free and hallelujah. But what really brought me to the Lord, the guy said, if you don't want to go to hell, you better repent and get on your knees and accept Jesus in your heart. And I knew all about hell as a Catholic. I knew all about hell and what it was like, you know, in my mind. And so I said, I don't want to go there. And I just have to say this prayer and really believe. And so that day at Buckeye Lake, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And
didn't even really know what it meant, did you?
Not really. And so it's been a journey ever since then. It was back in...
And she came home that day and just kind of casually said something. I didn't really pick up on it. And it was about 6 months later, maybe give or take, I don't know what it was, that January 28th, her birthday, January 28th, 1978. 87. I always get that wrong. I get those numbers backwards. 1987, at World Harvest Church, I received Christ. And boom, we were off and running. Neither one of us really understood it. And if you watch the show often, you know that I'm a church basher, I guess. Right? I don't mean to be, but I know that me as a guy, how long I was in church and had no understanding what was going on. I just kind of, I remember when we were getting sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, one of the guys who was on the other team who was suing me, I asked him, I said, do you know Jesus? You know Jesus, you know who he is? He said, hey, I was born Methodist. I said, well, there you go. That explains everything I need to know. Born Methodist. And many of us were just kind of born, whatever it was our parents told us that we ought to be raised. We had good parents, both of us, good sets of parents, raised good. But we were raised in a religion. Can you be born again and be a Catholic? Of course you can. But your Catholicism is not going to get you to heaven. Your Baptist isn't going to get you to heaven. Your Lutheranism isn't going to get you. It's just like a club that you joined, right? And we both realized our marriage became stronger when we had the unification of our common love for our Lord and each other. And how radically, radically transformed our lives. So it's amazing that I was going to let you talk now. Dana. It's kind of the way it works, okay. Right? She's very smart. Very smart. And it just kind of happened. And we trained. I got sued by the ACLU. I was all in with the battle for the ACLU because I'd known what Christ had done in my heart. But you know what? I'll never forget the day that I came home. And this sweet little thing, this is the sweetest little thing that she's not little, but sweet. Yes, she is. Sweetest little thing that ever happened. She's sitting on the edge of our bed, sobbing. And I walked in and I said, what's going on? And she held up the local newspaper. The headline says, ACLU sues Dobbin Meyer. And I thought, big deal. And she said something that changed my life forever. She said, don't you know that's your children's name? Wow. Huh? Wow. will make me cry now. Because in this battle for truth, justice, and the American way, there were casualties in my own home. I didn't even know it. Some of them still bearing the scars from those times. Our son Zach was the quarterback on the football team when I'm going through all this stuff. And all this hell that's breaking loose around us. My headline, I'm on the news, I'm on this, coach, whatever. They made me out to be some type of criminal because I was praying with our football team. But it didn't, you know, my 18-year-old, 17-year-old son who was quarterback, hell, they hated him because he threw interceptions. Let alone now they hated him because he was my son. And God carried her in particular through it. I was fighting so hard. I couldn't be a good dad. I couldn't be a good husband. I was in freaking war for how long?
For two years.
It was really pretty amazing. And so I see the people out there who want to start a podcast. I said, dude, listen, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. You don't just wake up and start a show. I'm sorry. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears. So I had Michelle down here so she could talk, and here I am talking the whole time. So that's okay. Just kind of want to open it up. I'll let her talk a little bit. Ask questions. Look at that picture. Is she cute or what? I don't know.
That was a long time ago. Holy crime.
Where'd you find in this stuff, Spencer? You robbing my phone or what? Facebook. Oh, jeezy, criminy.
The same hairdo.
So, yeah, she's still just as cute. She's just as cute. So, hey, memory open lane. Forum. Come on and ask a question. Ask her what kind of a-hole I am, really, and all that kind of stuff, and how our relationship works. And because I want you to know something. We've walked this together, man. We have walked this together. And she was always there supporting me. Sometimes she was mad as hell, but she always stayed with me. She's the most loyal human being that I've ever met. And when you bite one of her, somebody she loves, you better watch out. Because you'd never know that to look at her, would you? But she's fierce. She's fierce. Love to hear us. Come on. Open forum. Come on in here. What do you want to know about Michelle? Don't tell bad things about me.
Okay.
No bad things. On my birthday. It's my birthday. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me. Yeah, Paul, it's a transforming union. It really was. The gospel transformed both. Who's that you're holding?
Lucy.
I don't know. Yeah, it's with grandkids. Do you believe? Look at that. Spencer's finding all this stuff back there. In mine. Come on in. You're making me, when nobody's asking anything. Ray, come on in. Thanks, Angie.
Yeah, I just want to say how much we appreciate Michelle as well. Those that have gotten to know her over the years, and what a blessing she's been, and inspiration, hospitality. You can't go over to your place without her making sure that your needs are all met, you know, and I just want to say thank you, Michelle. We love you.
Thank you. Thanks, Ray and Jane. Thank you.
So I'm going to shut up for a minute because I want you to hear from her. So just start talking about some of the stuff we want, some of the dark things. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
Me? You. Start talking.
Yeah, they've heard from me all the time.
I know. Well,
let them feel who you are.
Put me on the spot there because I don't usually like to go back and dig up the past, but the past is what forms us and shapes us and makes us who we are. And everybody has their trials and tribulations, and so we're no different. Ours was just more public. I think that was the hardest thing. When you're going through stuff, it's usually within your family, and then our things were on Channel 6, Channel 10, all the radio stations, all the newspapers.
Making us out to be criminals. And you don't understand, folks. You don't understand.
It's over. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's over, and it shaped us and formed us. And you find out who real believers are. But that was one of the more difficult things to go through because it was so public.
And it's amazing how many people we thought were our friends. Who ran, man. It was unbelievable.
And the same thing that happened with our son and his issues, it was public. Everybody in the community in different cities knew about our issues. And so that's when your faith really, really kicks in, because you just have to trust God. There's no other way you can get through it. Not that you don't cry and, oh gosh, freak out. I'm very emotional and I tend to freak out really hard at the beginning, and then I get composed and then really dig into the word. That's a big difference. I'm really, really emotional. And
we learn to cling to each other.
Yeah. Right?
Our common faith, our common love for the Lord, and our common love for our family, and our common hatred of evil gave us something to rally around. And I can't tell you the number of times in our marriage something would happen, and I would say those blessed words, screw them! Screw them! You might know what I'm talking about? Right? Screw them! Because I saw what they were doing to her. I didn't care what they did to me. Oh, I cared, but I could take it. I was a big boy. But you know, we have to remember this. I was thinking the other day about Barron Trump. Think what he's hearing about his dad, what that must be like. You're about his dad having, you know, being at whatever, it doesn't matter, Epstein Island, all the women he bedded and all that kind of stuff. And there's a kid that's listening to this about his father. And sometimes we no matter how deep our hatred is, we ought to have a little bit of common decency about how our hatred is expressed, right? And we're all kind of guilty of that. But we're still standing. Somebody come on in. You talk, whatever.
Man.
There we go. All right. Dave Allison, come on in, and Craig. All right. Now it's blowing up a little bit. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I've been able to, you know, observe Michelle, and I really appreciate her because she's the opposite end of the teeter-totter and keeps it balanced. So I read this one day years ago, and I said, this is Michelle, because, you know, we all know Moses, right? And maybe Spencer can pull this up on Exodus 4:24-26. And so we can read it. And when as soon as I read that and I knew Michelle, I said, that's her. She's the person you never hear about. But Moses would have been killed if she didn't step in here.
And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Michelle took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. And then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. So, yeah.
But the story behind that sounds kind of gruesome. But if you go up to the one right before it, Moses is talking to the Lord and he says, what do I tell Pharaoh? Right. He's getting ready to go on this big mission. Okay.
Yep.
And he says, let go of Israel, my firstborn son. So he goes out on his way. He's on the journey, and he hasn't done the right thing. And his wife steps in. His Lord's getting ready to take him out. It says the Lord's getting ready to kill him, right? Like, and the wife comes in and says, hold on, wait a minute. I'm going to take care of this. And then, you know, Moses goes on and does all these great things. And you never hear about, you know, Zipporah. But if she hadn't done that, you wouldn't have heard about Moses.
Isn't that something? So, Craig, I would tell you this. You can say whatever you want to about Michelle, but you don't say anything about me or her kids. A lion comes out of her. That's really what you're talking about here, isn't it? Right?
Huh? Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, she's the glue of your family. Mm-hmm. I can just tell you that right now. She keeps everything glued.
Well, Craig, you know why that is? Because the lion lays down with the lamb, right? We're the lion and the lamb.
Well, that's what keeps our marriage together, because we are opposite in so many ways. And, you know, what does it say? Opposites attract. And that's really after 46 years. If I were like him and he were like me, oh, Lord, have mercy. It would, I don't know how we'd ever get anything done. And so,
yin and yang.
Yeah, like Craig said, we buffer each other, and that. You know, I guess you say, you know, your role in your marriage. And if we were same temperament, it would be awful. And if he were like crying over everything like me, oh, hi, Dale, give me some beignets. Oh, my goodness. I love those things.
I look fat. Yes. I am kind of fat, man.
Anyway, that is what has kept us for 46 years, is because we are different. We know our roles. And yet we have the same passionate love for Jesus Christ. It just comes out different. And of course, we're mama bears. Everybody out there would protect your children and your grandchildren and those that you love. You wouldn't let the devil come and stomp in your territory. You fight back. And praise God, we have the Lord to fight back with and his word. And
but she's not a fighter by nature. So no.
Yeah, but you don't mess with the kids, and you just speak the truth of the Lord. Amen. And that's the same way with all these culture issues, this abortion, homosexuality. You just got to keep fighting. You can't just lay back down. Our children and our grandchildren.
That picture is at the church where we got married. Yeah. That's the cathedral where we got married. It took that a couple of years. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, Michelle, one thing that I'll always remember in my mind is when you spoke at Gettysburg. And I asked you, I said, you know, I was looking for someone with a mother's heart. And I said, you're really, I think when I think of somebody and their mother, and, you know, and you got up there and you laid one of the most passionate, forthright 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and that's true. I think anybody that sees that doesn't know anything about you, but hears that, you cut right to their heart.
Spencer, I don't know if you can find that or not.
That was something. Totally Holy Spirit led.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was, and I was raised, I was a product of a babysitter in the 1950s and 60s. I went to a babysitter.
She wasn't raised by her mother. She's not the product of a babysitter.
I always tell stories different. Yeah, I went to a babysitter from birth, 6 weeks old, till I went to school. And so I really didn't have, like, my mom. Oh, there we are. The mothering skills. No, it's okay. Anyway, so God has just supernaturally equipped me to be a mom and a grandma. And I love just being a listener and prayer warrior.
Servant.
For a servant for women. And I count myself blessed with, like I said, all of the Pass the Salt ladies and men. I am so thankful.
I'm a pretty good husband, aren't I?
You are. You are. I'm just telling another story. Okay. But yes, I didn't grow up with a real good example of a mother.
Can you scoot over a little bit? They're complaining they can't really see it.
But the Lord, babysitters do work. And I really think that made a difference. In my life.
Dave, come on in.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, Michelle, for joining us this morning.
Yeah, Michelle.
Jerry's sitting next to me. And culture always talks about the yin and yang, and that's the same thing here.
Really?
But is that that iron sharpens iron, really. And I see you both have nerves of steel. You really do, even though Michelle's got that very soft, compassionate part. I know within her.
She's something in the midst of the fire, man. She's unflinching in the midst of the fire.
Yeah, there's certain things I wouldn't want to test about Michelle. I know she'd come at me with everything she had, right?
Yep.
So I appreciate that. And that is like Craig, that's a great analogy. The teeter-totter, how we balance each other out. And we appreciate Michelle. We know Coach couldn't do what he does without your support.
Amen.
And we really appreciate that. We've grown to love you, your family, wonderful people. You've been a blessing in our life.
We love you.
So we've been married just 2 days ago, 46 years. That's like unbelievable, right? And then today's my birthday, so that's why I'm having.
I do like that analogy of a teeter totter. That's it, men and women. You balance each other out. And the other thing of marriage is, he's never like tried to control like anything that I've done. If I wanted to go downtown or buy something or go somewhere, I never had a
let me. I never ever told her we can't get that. It costs too much. I never ever.
Or can I have your permission? And I think it's an internal thing that between you, I know what lines not to cross with money, but
yeah.
You know, he's never put like reins, and some people like to control wherever they go and whatever they do.
I'm head of the house. She's head of the home. You understand that? Mm-hmm. I control all that stuff. See, the job of a man is to protect her.
Yeah.
And so I shield off the wolves while she runs the house. That's the way I think it's, that's the way I think it's supposed to do. And we have such a relationship that I know she's not going to go out and buy a fancy pair of shoes if she doesn't need them. I trust her that way. I know she's not going to. She never comes home. I say, how much did you spend on that? What are you doing? Never, ever. I don't think in our marriage did I ever say that to her. Because why? We're on the same team. I know we're on the same team. And I trust her to do what she has to do. And she trusts me to do what I have to do. But if a tough decision comes, I make it because I love her. I protect her from having to be the one who was responsible for making that horrible decision. I made it. It was my job. I'm the head of the house. She runs the home. And it's really worked for us, man. It's really worked for us. And when you try to get those two reversed, it ain't good. It ain't good. Go ahead. Somebody said something.
Coach, one last thing I wanted to say is, so what I appreciate, and every morning my wife joins me here, and she joins me. We're one in spirit, and I really appreciate that. And the program through the Holy Spirit has really helped us grow immensely in our walk with the Lord.
Amen.
So,
amen.
But I appreciate my wife same way. She keeps me in check, and we compliment one another, and I appreciate her support as well.
By the way, folks, she listens to every show upstairs, so you ain't pulling nothing off. You say something on the show, she hears it too. And you better know she's my number one defender. She's my number one. You say something mean, better watch out. John Anderson, come on in, John. Good to see you this morning.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Michelle. My name is really Robert Alexander.
Yes, sir.
And I just want
Robert Alexander
from Tucson,
one of the most faithful supporters of Pass the Salt, Robert. I want you to know that I know that, I see that, and I'm going to appreciate it, brother.
And I appreciate that you said who told you this or who told you that. Yeah. And I've really seen you grow over the years in your faith.
Amen.
What you have to remember, and just the fact that you used to say, what am I going to do if I have some giants living right beside me? I remember that part. And sure enough, you got some giants.
That's right. That's right. It is what it is.
I remember, is it Reese, your youngest, and that one where you were out at the abortion, and you asked her why you're there, and she says, to save babies.
Amen.
That's my heart.
That's right.
And I'm always here to support you and your wife. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I think I've been with you all the ups and downs, and my beard used to be brown. And so
I think
I worry also, but praise the Lord.
Well, Robert, I want you to know this, that literally there's an army of folks like you out there that support what we do. And we couldn't do what we do without you. And just want you to know, it's hard for us to always say thank you to everybody. That's just know how much it matters to us.
It really does.
And it keeps us moving. And we appreciate it. Look, but at the end of the day, Robert, you got to know this. The Lord saw it.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't matter whether I saw it or not. The Lord saw it.
I like this one part where one of the members here told you how honest you are. And they says, well, have you ever been in their house and seen all the different chairs? And you think you're worried about how they're spending the money?
That's right. That is. We don't.
And you're all this after the show too. So.
Yeah. We don't live an opulent lifestyle. No matter what you might think, we really don't. We got grandkids everywhere running around. We got junky furniture. just because the kids are climbing over. All the time. We're grandparents. We're Grampy and Gigi first and foremost in our lives, and we really love this phase.
And happy anniversary, 46. Yeah. Wonderful. And
36.
73. And I'm just behind you a couple of years, Coach. I'm going to be 71 in December.
All right, brother. Hey, those are the golden years, man. Keep paddling.
In there. Very nice talking with you.
Thanks,
brother. Appreciate it. You know that really is what Robert just said. There are so many people out there that if we had the opportunity that we could sit and spend 5 minutes with and just say thanks, folks. If you saw the people who donated here, and I say this over and over and over, $10 a month, $25 a month. It's not the $5,000 gifts, although they're nice to get. That's not what keeps us going. It's the $20 a month, the $10 a month, the $15 a month. to people who really, a lot of you, we don't even know. We don't even know. But like I said, the Lord sees it. And you're investing in the Lord's work. You're not investing in Coach Dave and Michelle. You're investing in the Lord's work. And know this, Robert, the Lord sees it. And we appreciate it, brother. God bless you. Where do you live, Robert?
I live in Tucson, Arizona.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Tucson, Arizona.
And I think I've been here ever since the beginning of your show.
Is that amazing? I know this, our impact, the impact of the Lord through us is beyond what we could ever imagine.
Oh, yes.
And we have a somebody to visit in
Arizona. Yeah, we've got to come out to Arizona.
Yes, yes. You never know. I'm here.
Amen. Blessings, Robert. Thanks, brother. Blessings. Dr. Paul.
Hi, Michelle. We know you're a good cook. Anyway, I was just wondering what you'd ask your grandbabies, boys, and your grandsons. What characteristics would they seek in a woman for marriage?
Wow.
And the opposite, what do you seek in a man?
Wow.
At 47 years to think about that, I'm just wondering. It's important. We've got a lot of lonely men on this show.
I think for me, this I try to instill this in all of our grandchildren. Michelle will verify this. Courage. Courage. And from the time our oldest grandson, little Davy, could walk, I taught him, David, men protect women. Men protect women, David. And I think that theme runs pretty, would you agree with that? I think that theme runs pretty deep through our family. Go ahead.
First of all,
you start talking about grandkids, then she wants to talk. Go ahead.
First of all, they need to love the Lord. If you're looking for a mate, first and foremost, God has to be first in your life. If you have God at the top of your life, then your wife and your children, it's just a natural flow. You love the Lord, you're going to love your wife. And and then your kids, you just have to love the Lord first, and then he gives.
We don't hide Christ in our family with our children. We don't hide Christ. In fact, I don't want to sound braggadocious. Our youngest grandson, Declan, about 6 months ago, maybe he's even a little bit, how old is Declan?
Four.
He's four. I started showing him David and Goliath on YouTube. And he would watch that David and Goliath over and over and over. And he'll come over here today, just telling you, he'll come over here today.
He didn't let me.
And he'll say, Grandpa, can I watch David and Goliath? Because
anyway,
we're instilling that bravery inside him. Go ahead.
Trying to answer your question. Yes, number one, when you're looking for a man, they must love the Lord first with all their heart and all their soul and all your mind. And then the way you treat your wife comes from your love for the Lord. There's so many scriptures in the Bible about how husbands should treat your wives, and that's as Christ treated the church. And you want to know without a doubt, ladies, that your husband loves you, he will protect you, he will take care of you. He may not clean the toilets, he may not cook a meal, but if you know that he loves you unconditionally, that's the first and foremost thing, and that he would do anything to protect you and keep you safe, and not only physically but spiritually, as he's the head of the household. I don't want to make those really decisions out. Some of you single moms are always having to make these hard decisions with your children or life or finances. I really don't have to make all of those.
So I take that burden off of her.
Right.
That's not her role.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm a tyrant. I know her heart. I know what she would like to do. I'll ask her sometimes, but sometimes I know her heart. I'm not going to burden her. I'm just going to do it.
That does relieve me from doing all the things that I've been called to do, whether it be your own, you know, fellowship, ministry, house, kids. We all are multitasking. But as a man, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church and protect her, to remove those heavy burdens that that she shouldn't have to be making. And okay.
Somebody ask her.
Pray with her. Pray over her.
Where'd we meet? They ask. It's easy for me to remember. It's first it's her first day of we're at Mount Vernon High School. I was a football coach and a physical education teacher. And they had a whole staff meeting of the entire district the first day of teaching. And I can show you where I was standing when she came walking down the hall. And I knew. And I hunted her down real quick and never looked back.
And we met at that fall meeting at the teachers' meeting, got engaged in November, and got married the following November so I could go home. 24,
2 days ago.
So I could go home and plan a wedding over the summer.
She was a teacher, yeah. She was a first-year teacher, yeah. So she was looking for somebody to protect her, really. I mean, in the idea that she's going, you know, she left school, she left all of her friends. She was in a new environment as a teacher. She had an apartment with a couple girls, but she didn't really know them. And I think she saw me as I was kind of a protector.
At Kenyon College, that's where I started out, Jeff. Gambier, Ohio, I was at the elementary school.
But it was ordained by the Lord. I mean, he brought us together. There's no. And then Kevin, come on. Did you hear me, Kev? There you are.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I've been following you for a long time, Coach. I finally had the pleasure of meeting Michelle and saw an angel.
Yes.
She's got to be an angel to put up with you. But I know
yeah,
this.
That's true.
Well, not only that, Kevin, it's the deflection. Stuff hits me and bounces off me and hits the ones that I love. That's been the hardest thing. And she's not tough by nature, but she's really toughened up. Especially when it involves her family. She's a warrior when it involves her
or
family.
Or with things for the Lord.
Yep.
You know.
And what I've personally come to see is the farther you walk with God becomes, the more Satan is going to, since he can't attack you because you have the armor on, he's going to attack your family. He's going to attack things that you love and that you care for. Not that you idolize, but that you, that are of you, that you want to protect. And of course, it all comes down to the blood. But I know the two of you with God in the center is a cord of three cannot be broken.
Amen.
That's it. You have to have God at the center.
And common, not only common love for the Lord, which we have, but we have common love for our family. The family unit is so important to us. Now, Michelle grew up she had an older sister, and her mom worked and her dad worked. So she spent a lot of time at a babysitter. And she was kind of raised by the babysitter, which is nothing wrong with that. But it's different than I grew up with, you know, my brothers and sisters fighting each other, and cousins fighting each other. So she grew up in an entirely different environment than what I grew up in.
And maybe that babysitter instilled the kindness and the loving heart in her.
I think so.
That she wouldn't have got from a parent. But I will tell you this. I want to wish you both a wonderful and happy anniversary. I want to wish you a happy birthday. And I love you guys.
Love you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Coach, I wanted
you. You were profound in what you said to me and you, because I met a woman August 24th, and we got married at Chad's November 1st. Mm. And this woman loves Christ. She's a new Christian. She was raised Catholic. She spent her whole life being a Catholic, and gave her heart to God back at the 1st of June. And she is going through. But she prayed for me, I prayed for her, and lo and behold, God set it up.
Amen. Amen, Kevin. Folks, I think it's important that I say this. I hope you all understand. I don't Catholic bash. We're Catholics. I think we're still Catholics. I think. It's all about a relationship with Christ. You want me to bash on the Baptists? I can do that. I can bash on the Lutherans. I can bash on all of them. I do that. So when those of us who talk about Catholicism understand that's what we were raised in. And our whole worldview and mindset was on Catholicism. And now that we're kind of on the outside of it, we look in and we see some of the things that aren't right about it. Just like I can look inside the Baptist church and see some things that aren't right in it. I can look inside the Pentecostal church and see some things that aren't right in it. And so I don't want anybody out there to be offended if we're talking about Catholics, because we have one, I think. I mean, what are we? Huh?
Well,
we don't have to go to the Catholic church.
No, I just, Catholicism is deeply rooted in morals. We grew up more, you respected your mom and dad, you respected your elders, you didn't lie, you didn't steal, you didn't do the Ten Commandments.
They taught us morality, that's right.
They taught us a great deal of morality, and we feared the Lord, we reverenced the Lord, but we didn't know him. That's the thing. I mean, Mass and...
We feared him, we just didn't know him.
And I know I wasn't going to mess around in church, and I feared the Lord, but I did not know him.
It's like when I was a kid, my great-grandpa, I knew him, but I was afraid of him. He seemed old and gruff, and I knew him, but I didn't know him. And that's what religion does to you. You know God, but you don't really know him. You don't really know him like a grandpa that you can sit on his knee and fear and respect. So through our early Christian growth, that's where both of us were. We knew who Jesus was in the Catholic Church. We just didn't know him. We knew who he was.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is Psalm 91, when you're praying for your family, even if you only say part of it, that's what I get up and say every morning, no evil shall befall my family, name them, no plague shall come nigh their dwelling. As a mom and grandma, and as Kevin said, your family gets attacked, so moms, grandmas, that Psalm 91.
Collateral damage, buddy.
Is a good prayer to say, no evil shall befall my family, no plague shall come nigh their dwelling, an angel shall keep charge over them and keep them in all their ways. Lest they dash thy foot against the stone, and they shall trod upon the lion and dragon, and the young lion and dragon they shall trample under your feet. So say that prayer, whether you say it aloud or however you want to do it, is your job as a mom and a grandma and friend or whatever to put a hedge of protection around your children. It's not going to protect them from what's the wiles of the devil, because he's out there and he wants to get you. But I just feel a peace. I know that I've done my part. And as a mom and grandma, to say those specific targeted prayers for our kids every single day, and then when things happen, you're there to pray and walk through it with them. And our girls are a lot stronger because they've grown up in the faith, and things that Maggie's gone through with her pregnancies and Abby in life, they are.
But Michelle, the truth is a lot of us miss this. I'm in charge, but I'm not a tyrant. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I'm in charge. When I learned this a long time ago. It was from general, I can't remember who it was. So when something goes wrong, at the end of the day, when something goes wrong, if you can't point your finger at who's responsible for it, there really wasn't anybody in charge anyway, right? So when something goes wrong in the family, it's my responsibility. It's easy. I can blame her all I want to. But it happened under my watch with my permission. And so we have to man up and say, I dropped the ball on that. Forgive me. I screwed that one up. Because it's my, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Any of you have a family, a wife, you know what it's like, man. So own up to it. You screwed it up. Own up to it. Say, I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. That's all you can
do. And don't hold grudges.
No grudges. No grudges.
I mean, gosh, how many times has he messed up? And God is, I mean, all of the stuff that's happened to us, it's his, the ACLU. I mean, I had nothing to do with it. Nothing. I just was an innocent bystander, but it just drew us closer together, all the things you go through.
Yep.
And you have to forgive and know that God's in control of it all. And
all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. That's us. And are called according to his purpose.
Not all things are good.
Not all things are good.
Don't hold grudges and forgive your husband, your wife, even though sometimes you just want to I want to punch him in the nose.
Yeah, I've considered murder before. Yeah, I have.
For both of us, but you know, this unforgiveness is really,
yeah, it eats at you, man.
It eats at you, and it's a lot in families today. It's like, come on, come on. God says you have to.
I'm sorry, I was wrong.
And I forgive you. Anyway, I'm not just saying between us, but between families, whatever you're going through, that just keep praying for forgiveness to happen in your families. And it's going to happen because God hears your prayers and answers your prayers. Maybe not on your timing, but just be willing to forgive, to say you're sorry, even if you felt like, I think you've said, I've done nothing wrong.
Yep.
But and then reach out with the love of the Lord and go from there.
So when somebody wrongs you, understand this, it's a flaw in them. It's a flaw in them. All right. Don't take it personally. Say, Lord, I used to think like that and act like that too. It's just a flaw in them. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah. Happy anniversary. The two of you.
And happy birthday, Glenn. 73 here, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, in May. Happy birthday to you, Coach. You guys are so blessed. You know, those little arrows that God has brought into your life and the Pass the Salt family, you know, in spite of all that you went through with the ACLU, look what God has wrought in your lives. It's really wonderful. Michelle, I love your heart. You're such a blessing to Coach and you know, and your family and those grandchildren. We love you guys. And Spencer, there's a song that I'm thinking of that would be great to wrap the show up today, Spencer, if you can find it. It's called Reminiscing by the Little River Band. Mm. Reminiscing. So maybe Spencer can find it.
Do the Gettysburg, and that's a lesson for all mothers. And
this is Michelle.
Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on them. God, you train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not going to depart. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Moms, that's for all of you with your prodigal children and grandchildren, and just don't give up because the Lord hears your cries. And
so here's Michelle at Gettysburg. Craig's the one to kind of put
and
all
then
this
we'll play
together.
That song.
See, she's bossy.
I
got to
go volunteer this morning at the lookup.
Okay, so this is Michelle, and she just, it is what it is. Go ahead. This is in Gettysburg. How long ago was this, Craig? I don't know, 4 years ago, five? Craig would know the time and the date. November 11th, some date. I don't remember what it was. Go ahead.
Mother's heart, and you know how much of a mother and grandmother that I am.
He's working on it. Hang on, folks.
And I, what came to me when he asked me that from a mother's heart is Matthew 18:6. God takes what we do to our kids and what we don't do pretty seriously. Some of you already know it. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for them that a millstone be hung around his neck and thrown into the deepest part of the sea.
Amen.
Listen to that. God takes how we're deceiving our children very, very seriously. And it all starts with the moms and the dads and the grandmas and the grandpas and the aunts and the uncles and the cousins and the brothers and sisters and your neighbor. You all have neighbors that have kids. It starts with us. We have got to stop it, to stop what's going on. And I just want to repent. I wrote some things down for us to repent about from a mother's heart. And I looked up the word repent. So the dictionary meaning is express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoings or sins. Think about that. To repent is to express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sins. And that's what we're here today to do, to repent, to express our sincere regret of remorse for what we've allowed to go on in this country. And I just wanted to, like I said, from a mother's heart, just all of us gather and repent right now, Father God, for the slaughter of our innocent little baby boys and girls. It happened on our watch, my watch, all the watch of many of us here when we made it not really legal, but it became an edict of our land. So, Father God, we repent. We repent from the bottom of our hearts over the slaughter of the innocent boys and little girls, Lord God. And we ask for mercy. And we ask to guide us into what we can do from this day forward to stop this slaughter. There's something each and every one of us can do, whether it be praying in your room or going down to a clinic or telling your grandchildren about the sanctity of life. We all can do something from this day forward when we repent and ask for his forgiveness. The other thing that I repent for is the raising of our children. So many of us have not raised them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We have not taught his precepts and statutes, and we've let them run wild and free while we're going and doing our business and doing our careers, and we've neglected to raise our children. Some kids don't even know who Jesus Christ is. So, Father, we repent of that. We can't go back, but we can move forward, and we ask you forgiveness and give us direction and how we can help from this day forward our neighbors, our grandchildren, whatever, that we can begin to tell them about Jesus Christ and what he's done. We have to let the world know that Jesus Christ is Savior, and don't hide him under a bushel because we've hid him there for so long. And also, I want to repent of just the opposite. We've raised our kids and put them on such a pedestal, and we've let them run and become selfish, indulgent children, Lord, and let them do whatever they wanted to do and not giving them guidance of anything, Lord. So I repent that we have done that to our children and not been there and disciplined them and taught them respect and taught them to love you, Lord. So forgive us, and from now on, from this point, touch somebody with the love of Jesus Christ. We also repent for the government schools, Lord God. We know how awful they are, Lord Jesus, and the things that go on there, and we just ignore them. We just ignore the LGBTQ and the homosexual and just the total disrespect and lying of our history that their children are being taught. So, God, we repent. We just give remorse and regret for that. And, Lord, may we start now and go to the school boards and go to our teachers and go to the places that God calls you to tell the truth. We can't be ignorant anymore. We have to speak the truth wherever we go and wherever we assemble, in our schools and in the churches as well, Lord Jesus. And so I just want to take the last repentance that everybody just take a quick moment in their own lives and in the children they have come in contact with or they've raised or not raised, and that you would just think of something personal that you could ask the Lord to do, to forgive you and have mercy on you. Just take 1-10 seconds to say in your heart what that is that you know between you and the Lord. I know you hear the cries and the repentance of these people that are here, Lord Jesus. I know you hear it, Lord God, and have mercy on them and forgive them. And you have said, go and sin no more. So, Lord, may each and every one of us reach out with a mother's heart, a father's heart, a grandmother's heart to these children, these innocent little baby boys and girls and teenagers, Lord. They need us to teach the truth of Jesus Christ. Thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. Wow, that's a heart of a mommy.
Amen.
Folks, man, put that in the chat. Some of you need to listen to that again.
Play
Mary Kelly, come on in.
so much.
No delay.
Congratulations. God bless you both. And you're such an inspiration for me in my life.
Thank you, Mary.
I just want to say, I thank you, everyone. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Jeff, come on in. Then get that song ready to play here real quickly. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, have Spencer pull up Hebrews 13, verse 8. This is something you dedicate this one to Michelle. You know what, probably 25 years, all the crazy things we've done.
Yeah.
Strip clubs, abortion clinics, school board meeting, you name it. And I've noticed that with Michelle in this verse. She's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That woman has never changed. She, and you know what, Michelle? When you get to get through the pearly gates, get to meet Jesus face to face, your trophy, instead of a crown, he's going to give you a trophy.
Amen.
God's world's best cheerleader. You know, you've always been there. We appreciate you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Folks, thank you for letting me honor my wife here today.
Thank you. We love you guys. Appreciate you more than you guys will ever know.
Mm. Yeah, Little River Band. And go ahead. You'll know. Reminiscing.
Love you too, Michelle.
Joe Allen. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe and Carol.
Go ahead, Spence. And so that's good. That's good enough, folks. Just thanks for honoring us, honoring my wife, and she's the glue that holds the house together. No doubt about that. As I'm out gallivanting, doing what it is, it's something here on my birthday.
Yep, we are having a party tonight, so
celebrating our birthday.
Reese is making a cake.
We're one. The two shall become one.
Happy birthday.
Me and Gigi. God bless y'all. See you tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. No show tomorrow. Thanks. It's Thanksgiving.
Happy birthday, Coach.
All right, Brett. Thanks, Brett. See y'all on. Hey, listen. Take Friday off. Brett, Spencer, take Friday off. You say no? Okay, we'll do it Friday. See you Friday morning. God bless y'all. Happy Thanksgiving.